I was 17 years old and was just completing my studies in philosophy at Amiens, where my parents, who belonged to one of the best families in Pays, had sent me. I was leading a life so prudent and well-ordered that my teachers held me up as an example to the entire college. Not that I made strenuous efforts to deserve their praise, but I am by nature disposed to be mild and peaceable. I applied myself to my studies out of inclination, while signs I gave of a natural aversion to vice were attributed to me as virtues. My birth, my scholastic successes, and an agreeable appearance had won me the acquaintance and respect of everyone of any consequence in the town. I spoke so well and to such general acclaim in the public debates at the end of the year that the bishop, who was present, suggested that I go into the church, where I could not fail to earn greater distinction than as a Knight of Malta, for which my parents had destined me. They already made me wear its cross, and with it the title of Chevalier des Grieux. The holidays were approaching, and I was getting ready to return home to my father, who had promised to send me to the academy very soon. My one regret on leaving Amiens was that I would be parting from a friend to whom I had always been deeply attached. He was several years older than I. We had been brought up together, but since his family fortunes were modest in the extreme, he was obliged to enter holy orders and to stay on in Amiens after I had left in order to continue with the studies appropriate to that profession. He had 1,000 good qualities. You will come to know him as my story unfolds for his readiness to use the best of these on my behalf, and especially for a zealousness and generosity in friendship that surpass the most famous examples of antiquity. If I had followed the advice he gave me then, I would always have prospered and been wise. If, in the abyss into which my passions soon plunged me, I had at least heeded his reproaches, I might have salvaged something from the shipwreck of my fortune and reputation. But the only fruit he reaped from his efforts on my behalf was the bitterness of seeing them in vain, and sometimes harshly repaid by an ungrateful wretch who felt them as an affront and dismissed them as an impertinence. I had already decided the date of my departure from Amiens. If only, alas, I had decided to leave a day sooner, I would have returned to my father's house as innocent as when I left it. On the evening before the day when I was to leave the town, I was out walking with my friend, whose name was Tiberge, when we saw the coach from Arras arrive, and followed it to the inn where these vehicles stop. Our only motive was curiosity. Several women alighted and at once went inside, but there was one, a very young girl, who remained behind, standing alone in the courtyard, while an elderly man, who appeared to be her escort, busied himself retrieving her luggage from the coach. She seemed to me so enchanting that I, who had never thought about the difference between the sexes, nor looked at a girl with any attention, I repeat, whose wisdom and restraint were admired by all, found myself inflamed all of a sudden to the point of rapture. I had always been timid to a fault and easily put out of countenance, but far from being deterred by these weaknesses now, I at once approached the mistress of my heart. Although she was younger even than I was, she received my polite overtures without the least sign of embarrassment. I asked what brought her to Amiens and if she was acquainted with anyone there. She replied openly that she had been sent there by her parents to become a nun. Love, which had only a moment before entered my heart, had already so opened my eyes that I at once saw this plan as a mortal blow to my desires. She could see from the way in which I spoke to her what my feelings were, for she was much more experienced than I.